You are listening to Writing Alchemy, stories that step outside the oppressive grind of the everyday world, with your host, writer and artist, Faye Onyx.
Willa, Tarragon, and Dazan are participating in the Owlbear Reintroduction Program, a project that is re-establishing owlbears in areas where the owlbear populations have been previously wiped out. Something that's not so easy because owlbears are large, ferocious, magical predators. Throw in a group of skilled poachers determined to steal owlbear eggs, and things are bound to get interesting. Hello, and welcome to the 37th episode of Writing Alchemy. I'm Faye Onyx, and I am so excited to be back with the 18th game episode of Unfamiliar Heroes, my podcast series where I work with players and storytellers to create new representations of disabled, sick, and neurodivergent people using tabletop role-playing games. Today's game is the 5th game episode of the Owlbear Reintroduction Program. This game was played using Magic Goes Awry, a game I designed to capture the fun of Dungeons & Dragons in a free game that is accessible to a wider range of people. Right now, I'm in the process of finishing up a new version of this fantastical, creativity-focused game, which you will soon be able to find on the Writing Alchemy website. I'll keep you updated as this process progresses. Please be aware that today's episode contains zombies, mild violence, and a few short sections of gore. Those folks who are more squeamish may appreciate knowing that no meat products were involved in the production of the gore sound effects, only produce and candy. I know that would help me, so I hope it helps you. And now, I want to take a moment to thank you all so much for your patience and support. I know this break took longer than anticipated. For those who are interested, I'm going to put a few details about what happened at the end of this podcast. The short version is that my mental health hasn't been very good lately, and that has greatly slowed down the podcast production process. For this reason, I'm not going to be setting a specific release date for the next episode, but I will be working on it. This podcast is extremely important to me, and more episodes are coming. I do have one more announcement that I'm really excited to share with all of you. As I get back to a more normal podcast release schedule, I will be finding time to make some special episodes that will be released as a thank you to everyone who has helped the Writing Alchemy podcast. This includes all Patreon patrons, podcast participants, volunteers, and people who write reviews, tweet about the show, and share Writing Alchemy with friends. These special episodes will include bonus casts and mini-adventures. I look forward to sharing more details about this soon. Finally, I'm going to quickly mention that you can follow Writing Alchemy on Twitter at writing_alchemy, #alchemycast, and on Facebook at facebook.com/writingalchemy. You can visit writingalchemy.net to find all of the Writing Alchemy podcasts, articles, stories, and other content. And if you want to help me keep this podcast going, you can pledge your support on Patreon at patreon.com/writingalchemy. And now, let's get to the show. The Owlbear Reintroduction Program, Part 5.
Thank you. I'm Faye Onyx. My pronouns are Z and here. And I'm playing the world as I am being the storyteller slash game master.
My name's Robin. My pronouns are they, them, or she, her, depending on the day. My character is Taragun Songsteel. They are an orc and a bard.
My name is Oriana, and my pronouns are they, them. My character is Willa. She is a gecko lizard person.
So my name is Sage Healy Silk. My pronouns are Zemzer, and so are Dizan's. Dizan is a druid. Their species is Zmeu, which is a Romanian were-dragon.
So I'm going to set the scene for all of you and kind of remind you of where everything's at. Mm-hmm. So after doing your kind of river rafting trip, your characters were quite tired and they all took a rest. And during that time, there was this crow that seemed to be watching your group, and that was kind of creeping everyone out. And so your characters decided to get up a few hours past dusk and travel on towards an inn. As you progressed, you came to a valley, and at the entrance of this valley, a sign read, "Warning, historic battlefield site, nighttime zombies." So it's just a few hours past dusk at this point. Characters are better rested. Some are fully rested, some are not. As everyone was discussing whether or not the zombies were a significant threat or whether or not to continue, two glowing red forms started moving around in the bushes and coming towards you. And everyone is recognizing these as two zombies. And I'll read to you exactly what your characters can remember about zombies. And that is that places associated with powerful emotions become imbued with magic that is connected to that emotion. One of the more common effects is the creation of zombies. Zombies are the bodies of dead people or animals that have been animated by this emotion magic. These animated corpses carry out the intention of the emotion in a simple way. Violent battlefield zombies are the most common, and you're pretty sure that's what you have right here.
Okay.
And the final thing that happened right when we stopped was the two owlbears in the wagon, feeling pretty alert right around just a few hours after dusk, both perked up and made adorable, excited chirping sounds as they spotted zombies. And all of you suddenly remembered that owlbears are one of the magical monsters that are known for hunting zombies.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, it looks like it's dinner time for somebody.
And Taragon's sort of making noises along the lines of, well, at least we've got these two with us. This should help matters, I hope. Probably. What? Oh, and Taragon looking a bit nervous and sort of frantically checking the satchels and pockets and things. It's not really clear what they're checking for, but they're clearly checking out of some sort of nervous habit or something.
Willa turns to the other two and says, "Is there any way we can ask them if they can do something about those zombies, like preferably before they get to us?"
Well, so as you're talking to each other, one of the owlbears, the one that is not currently incubating the eggs, leaps out of the cart and goes into a very like alert pose as it kind of starts lining itself up to stalk one of the zombies.
I guess they can help us. I don't think we need to ask. That's good. Taragon sort of gestures towards the owlbear remaining with the egg, trying to convey some meaning along the lines of, will you be okay with the eggs? Because they're still quite focused on their task, and perhaps with the fatigue they're feeling and the slight panic, they're not maybe focusing exactly on the task in maybe the best way possible.
Awesome. Robin, can you roll for your character's animal handling?
Yes. Okay. So I'm rolling under, aren't I? That's correct. So I got one success.
All right. So you're gesticulating is reasonably in line with behavior that is appropriate around dangerous animals. So you're definitely staying away far enough away from the eggs. The owlbear that is incubating the eggs seems quite calm and relaxed, although alertly looking around at the zombies. Mm-hmm. So your best impression is that owlbear is definitely going to stay with the eggs and take care of them.
Yeah. So getting the impression that actually the owlbears aren't scared. They're more like, they're just alert and interested, but not so much scared.
Excited would probably be your best impression. Yeah. Okay. They're not intimidated.
Okay.
Is anyone going to be taking any actions as the owlbear starts to stalk up towards one of the zombies?
Gazan is musing. There's this other one coming, and they're not going to take care of both of them at once, so we have to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
So, Willa is a trap expert, so mm-hmm. she's going to climb out of the wagon and try to set a trap in the path of the second zombie that's headed towards them.
Okay, so to give you kind of a sense of the lay of the land, the road curves around to the left, kind of going towards this inn. And off to the right side of the road, there's a bunch of bushes. And so far, two zombies have visibly emerged from those bushes. Mm-hmm. There is continuing rustling in the bushes, and these two forms are what you can currently see coming towards you. So are you wanting to put this trap kind of like in the straight line between yourselves and this other zombie that is not the one being stalked?
Yes.
All right. So that's going to be technology that you're going to be using to set up the trap and your, of course, your trap skills. And so that means you get to roll three dice to set up a trap that you believe will stop a zombie.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Two successes.
Awesome. That is a solid success. So what are you using to set up this trap? You using rope?
Yeah, I'm using some rope and some of the bushes that are still in between the large clump of bushes where the zombies are coming from. Because there's still, I'm guessing, some little shrubbery in between. So I'm sort of making this contraption with like some bent twigs and rope.
Yeah, and probably you've got some ropes tied to some sturdy rocks and the bases of some sturdy bushes. So that trap is going to work just fine. So as that second zombie continues to move forward, they will not perceive there to be a blockage in front of them, but as soon as they step on it, their legs will become tied up in these ropes. And you believe that will immobilize that particular zombie. As all of this is happening, everyone is noticing that the rustling in the bushes is continuing, and an additional zombie form emerges from a different area of bushes. Is anyone else doing anything as this happens?
So Zahn is getting ready to do water effects. Mm-hmm. So I think an ice wall would be the thing to try to work on, or ice walls around us.
Absolutely. That is definitely a solid option.
At least on a few sides.
I think we're going to try and head towards the inn, though. So we should make sure to give ourselves...
Oh, well, then maybe I should use a different magic. So Design discusses this with you all. So should I try to use an ice wall? Okay, so if we're going to go toward the inn, then maybe a wave would be a better thing just to wash them away as we're walking.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I can help and enhance your magic, and then you can control maybe the direction or the strength of it even better.
That would be lovely.
Okay, I can do that. So Tarragon starts to prepare for a performance.
Awesome. Why don't you roll that performance for Tarragon?
Okay. And I get one success.
Awesome. So that is enough to help out just one person. So you're focusing on helping out Dizon, and Dizon will be able to have an additional dice or when Z uses zero water magic.
Okay.
Am I rolling now?
Yeah, so go ahead and roll to see how effective you're going to be.
Okay, one success.
Okay. Oh, yeah, so I am going to have you tell me when you cast this magic. So as you are observing the scene unfolding, we've got now three zombies that you can see coming towards you. The owlbear is excitedly stalking one of the zombies, and it's going to pounce upon the zombie and start clawing and biting at it. Can't really tell exactly what the owlbear is doing to that particular zombie. Meanwhile, another zombie, so this is the fourth zombie, emerges from the bushes. And at about this time, the first zombie hits the trap. And that works beautifully. Its legs are all tied up, and it seems unable to continue forward, though it continues trying to go forward. When is Dizon, is now when Dizon is going to blast the water?
Sure. The question that Z has is, are the zombies coming from different directions, or are they both coming from the same direction?
Well, right now, if you assume that the battlefield was somewhere in the valley, the road's kind of going off to the left, so there's kind of a wide open area to your right, which is all this whole valley and these bushes in the valley. You have not yet noticed anything off to the left, but that is a little like farther away from you.
Okay. All right. So, Dizon, takes dragon form so as to fly up to, get a better handle on seeing stuff. And, let's see, can Dizon roll a single die for a perception check?
Sure.
Okay, failure. Maybe
right.
It's too dark. Although Dizon is a night person, so that's not that can't be a good. It has to be weather, or something like fog or something.
Well, right. The zombies are glowing.
But Dizon is also very tired, probably.
This is true. Mm-hmm. Lack of sleep is a thing.
The zombies are glowing. Dizon is tired. There's a lot of chaotic things happening, and there's a lot of bushes in the valley. And that's part of it. Is sometimes a failure is just you can't see anything because there's all these bushes, but there's can't really see much of what's going on around the area you're looking. So Dizon is about to set off this water effect. So what is Dizon doing with this water?
Now, Dizon is too nature loving to just go and lay waste to an area of trees and things. Well, the fire hose technique might be a better one.
Mm-hmm.
And Dizon, being a water dragon, can in fact breathe water.
Okay.
So this is like breathing fire onto a zombie, but I suppose because it's an animated corpse, it's not going to burn up because it's not fire. And with mm-hmm. water, it's not going to, I mean, it can't drown because it's a mm-hmm. zombie. So.
Yep.
So therefore, we're just talking a temporary defense.
Awesome. So Dizon's trying to do a focus sort of fire hose effect on the two zombies that everyone can see that are not being dealt with.
Yeah.
All right. So Dizon's trying to do something really focused and strong. And magic being unpredictable and being in the air while doing this ends up with a rather surprising effect. So Dazan lines up, the water ghost spraying out towards these two zombies, knocks them back a bit, but in the process of that, there's an unexpected counterforce upon Dazan as this fire hose of water comes out. And although the initial effect is exactly what Dazan hoped for, Dazan ends up spinning around, spraying a fire hose wildly in all directions for a short period of time.
Ah, like a balloon letting out air.
Yeah, pretty much. And so I'm going to need the two of you to roll your physical defense to withstand this fire hose effect as it blasts around you. Dazan doesn't need to roll this because you are the source of it.
Oh, God.
But I do need Orianna and Robin to roll your physical defenses.
And I get one success.
Okay.
I also get one success.
Okay, so the two of you are very wet, but you're on your feet. And so there's a Sorry, lot of everyone. Water everywhere. Everyone's soaking wet. The owlbears are a little disgruntled. They have gotten some water on them. The owlbear that was hunting zombies cheerfully comes back to the cart, wielding a partial zombie that is still moving, and seems thoroughly intent on offering this still moving pair of legs, basically, to its partner lovingly.
Oh, yikes.
Well done, Albert.
Enjoying today's show, please help me keep it going by heading over to my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/writingalchemy and pledging a monthly donation. Even a dollar a month is a meaningful contribution that helps me keep doing this. These pledges pay for things like audio equipment, web hosting services, and acquiring all of the interesting gaming systems we will be playing in this series. It is also my hope to grow my Patreon funding to the point where I can afford to increase accessibility with things like episode transcriptions. I believe that art is an important source of community sustenance in these challenging times. It also gives us a place to learn, grow, and create new ways of doing things. However, in the larger culture, intersectionally marginalized artists are undervalued and underpaid. It is hard for us to have the resources to keep doing this important work. That is why your Patreon pledges are so important. They help me pay my costs and support myself as an artist. I know that not everyone can afford a dollar a month, and there are non-monetary ways that all of you can support this show. The biggest is sharing the show with your friends and telling them how much you enjoy it. You can also help out by rating and reviewing Writing Alchemy on iTunes and Stitcher. Each 5-star review helps new people find this show. And to all of my Patreon backers, guests, participants, and community members, thank you. Your support makes this show possible.
All right, so that's what Dazan is doing. Willa has set up the trap, but that was a little while ago, and Tarragon is also free to do things.
Okay.
So are there still two zombies coming at us?
Yeah, so there are two zombies that are farther back. You're noticing some other bushes starting to rustle, and you're starting to hear some rustling sounds from the other side of the road in the distance.
Okay, so Taragon has a sneaky idea, mm-hmm. and they would like to try and use their transportation magic. Mm-hmm. in a sort of unorthodox manner. So they know that they can use the magic to make traversing hazardous terrain easier, like we've done with the donkey. They're wondering if they can use it to make it more difficult.
Absolutely, yeah.
They're not sure they could do anything offensive with it, but they could at least slow it down.
Absolutely. So
Taragon is going to light a fire stick and do a... and. Well, also hoping that the fire might scare them off a little bit as well, if nothing mm-hmm. else. And it's going to do some quick fire performance to try and make the going really difficult for the zombies so that they uh-huh. can't advance at all, or even they have to go back if it goes really well. Okay.
Awesome.
So let's see. I have two successes.
Oh, wonderful. That's a solid success.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, you use that transportation magic mm-hmm. to enchant the terrain around you to make yeah. it really hard to pass through. And that is definitely slowing the zombies down.
Okay.
Kind of see the branches in the trees kind of seem almost like they're twisting into the paths of the zombies. As these bushes and occasional trees are kind of blocking their progress. So this whole side of the road, which is where the majority of the zombies are coming from, that whole area is going to be a lot slower for the zombies to get through.
Okay, that's good.
But there might still be zombies coming from the other side?
Mm-hmm. There, you kind of in the distance, you're hearing some more mm-hmm. rustling there.
I think we need to try and get to the inn as fast as possible, Willa says, and climbs back onto the
yeah.
wagon.
Well, they're far off. That might be a good idea. Okay, let's do this. Let's go.
Absolutely. And your owlbear is back in the mm-hmm. wagon with this partial zombie. And its mates are very enthusiastic about this partial zombie.
Okay.
It's kind of gross. It does not smell appealing. The owlbears are very happy with themselves. And so
are we approaching more zombies?
Yeah, so you basically get the donkey to go forward as fast as possible, right?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, so basically you're going forward as fast as the donkey can go, and that's pretty fast because you are going downhill.
Okay.
The donkey is quite nervous of the zombies, so that does not hurt. So as you go past, you are starting to notice that there is more zombie action going on in this valley. The areas on both sides of the road do seem to have that kind of movement in the bushes. You see a couple bits of red glow as you go past. And so as you approach the inn, you see a large stone bridge spans this river. On top of it is a wooden three-story inn that covers the entirety of the bridge. An arched tunnel runs through the center of the inn's bottom floor, which would normally allow traffic to cross through to the other side. Currently, this tunnel is blocked by a sturdy wrought iron gate, which guards access to this tunnel. Behind that gate is also a sturdy oak door, which is still closed. And there are no other doors in sight, and the bottom floor of this inn is well fortified, with narrow shuttered windows and dark walls that are reinforced with strips of iron. In contrast, two stories up on the inn, it is painted in bright colors, has large well-lit windows, and those with good night vision can see a plume of smoke rising from the inn's chimney. So that's what the inn looks like as you start to approach it. As you approach, you notice that there are several zombies, let's say three zombies, at the gate of the inn, kind of just pounding uselessly on the gate. So
the Zong is thinking the innkeepers are not going to let us in if we can't get rid of those zombies.
Yeah, so that is going to be a challenge.
I think we're going to have to try and get rid of them then.
Can Willow use culture or diplomacy to talk to zombies?
Well, as far as you know, they're magically animated corpses. That's the basic knowledge you have right now. That would not suggest communication would be possible.
But can they hear?
Okay, so the zombies have a basic sensory capacity, but magic itself kind of has a basic sensory capacity that can be used to sense things. So you don't know very much about zombies right now, but the basic idea you have is you would probably not be able to communicate with them, okay, as they are an animated corpse that there doesn't seem to be any actual life inside it.
Okay, so
it's more like a puppet.
So Tarragon's sort of saying to you, surely we can remember more. I know we had lectures on this. I know we had classes about zombies. What we must, do you have notes, Willa? Do you have notes? Dizon, do you have notes? And is just sort of desperately trying to remember her classes, their classes on.
Can Willa try and bluff anyways to pretend to be a general and rally the zombies to battle, to play on the emotions that are animating them?
That is a brilliant idea. Design is highly impressed. Yes.
That I'll help might be possible. Okay. Right.
Well, it's like, hold on a second. I realize it's 2 a.m. and my best ideas don't happen at 2 a.m., but this might be a winner. So it turns to Tarragon and says, hey, can you do anything martial?
Well, I can just make your skills stronger, and I can try and do fancy maneuvers, but that's really only good if I'm running at things or jumping at things, so I don't know if that's good here. But I can definitely try and make your performance better.
Do you need somebody to pretend to be an evil, horrible water-breathing dragon that they can attack?
I think first, Willa's going to try and remember as much as she can about the culture here, because she does have culture.
Absolutely.
So is that 2 dice?
Yeah, without assistance, that would be 2 dice, yeah.
Okay, and Tarragon is going to sing a memory song about trying to remember so that we can help.
Oh, I'm not the kind of lady slip from my mind. Oh, I'm not the one just half a fun.
Okay, so
you get a third dice for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's 2 successes.
All right. So as you're looking around at the zombies that you've encountered so far and try to remember more about the culture of this region and the history, it's a little hard to tell in the dark with the zombies being partially rotted, but you are noticing that there's dwarf zombies and there's some anthropomorphic animals, so basically like animals that wear clothing, and these seem to be the main zombies, which is regional cultures. This is an area that's kind of bordering two regional areas. One of them has anthropomorphic animals in large numbers, and the other has a lot of dwarves. And so that seems to be kind of the two cultures of this area. And you're kind of starting to remember that it was a war between these two cultures that previously had kingdoms that produced a lot of bloody battlefields in this area.
Okay.
So Willa is going to clear her throat and try to use her diplomacy to make a stirring speech to rouse these zombies back into their battle against not the donkey, the cart, or the inn.
Okay. So you're trying to bluff and pretend that you are someone you aren't?
Willa has this idea that she can like stir them up to battle, because right now they're not really fighting against anything. They're just sort of throwing themselves whether there's living bodies. So she wants them to sort of try and get them back to like whatever it was that they were fighting for before, which because okay. they have their enemies right there.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Yep. I'll say that there's two dwarfs and an anthropomorphic bear that are the ones that are at the gate. So you're going to try to get them to fight each other.
Terrifying. A zombie bear.
A zombie anthropomorphic bear. So it's kind of a little bit more like a Bernstein's bear, for those of you who know children's books in the U.S. So it's got clothing on, but it's very large and bear-like as well. And it has the remnants of armor on it. Yeah, so I'm going to say that would be a diplomacy then, since you're trying to just remind them of their own history. Robin, is Tarragon magically assisting yes. Willa?
Yep. So
all right.
The memory song becomes a battle song, I think.
We're gonna fight, 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 fight until we die. We're gonna fight.
So I'm going to want you to roll for that.
Yeah. I get one success.
Okay, okay. So...
We're going to fight, 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 fight until we die. We're going to fight, 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 fight until we die. We're going to fight, 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 fight until we die tonight.
Okay, and Oriana, you were being magically enhanced. Roll your diplomacy. You get an extra dice.
Okay, so one success and two failures. This should be interesting.
So
Willa is literally standing at the front of the wagon shouting at the zombies at this point. Warriors, listen up!
Okay, okay. So what I'm going to say is that this magical enhancement surrounds you and that it amplifies the sound you're making. So this shouting of like orders, trying to give orders to these zombies, you're saying, listen up, form up ranks. You're trying to get them to do stuff. It's really, really loud. And the zombies notice you and they start coming towards you. They're definitely coming towards the cart now. However, in the process of doing this, a window opens at the top of the inn and someone looks down at you. They are backlit. They are a large person. And that's what's happening.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Zombies are coming towards you.
Zombies are coming towards
you. That did not work as planned. Willa is now panicking now that she has attracted the attention of all of these zombies, and she's going to throw a bottle of glue at the frontmost zombie. Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. What's Dazan doing right now?
I'm having a cognitive moment in real life, so apology.
Okay. Would you prefer us to move on without Dazan and just say Dazan's a little bit overwhelmed by the situation?
How about if Dazan does a perception check, which again is only one dice, because I'm thinking, insight? Because there's a whole hotel that can hear what's going on outside, I imagine. So insight would be the thing to roll.
Absolutely. And a window above has just opened up and someone has stuck their head out the window. They're a large person. You can't really see what's going on.
Okay. So I'm going to roll this insight.
Absolutely.
Two successes.
Awesome. So again, it's hard to see because they're backlit, but this person seems to be large and authoritative. So basically, as Dazan's focusing on this person and looking up towards them from the cart, the person shouts down, "What are y'all doing down there? Can't you read the sign?" At this very moment, all of you suddenly notice a sign that says, "Gates are locked at sunset. No exceptions." However, Dazan, as you're paying attention to this very irate person in the window, you see that they are not just angry at being woken up, but they are, of course, a normal person with natural empathy, and they are obviously concerned for you. So that is what Dazan is noticing as this person is shouting, "What are you doing here? The gates are locked. Why are you here?"
So let's see. The design is thinking, yeah, I better yell rather than turn into a dragon. It's dark enough. They might think I'm human, so I better just use diplomacy and have a conversation.
Okay. Yeah.
Via yelling up at the window. So let's see. Two dice, right?
If your character has diplomacy, absolutely.
Yeah, it does. I got a 4 and a 2, so
awesome.
Two successes.
Awesome. So what does Dazan say to this person who's shouting down at you?
Well, let's see. Dazan can explain the mission that they're on. We are
currently being attacked by zombies, by the way.
Is Dazan also being attacked? Okay, well, of course. Okay. So maybe not explaining a situation, but if the two successes at diplomacy while in the midst of battling zombies. Mm-hmm. Let's see. All right, so Dazan's not too worried about, because zombies, well, you know, they're not like expert warriors, so the armor is pretty tough. So Dazan pays more attention to the guy up in the window.
Absolutely.
We're here to take these two owlbears from the Wildwood to Steep Valley, and we got here at the wrong time of day, and we need shelter. So we're trying to drive these zombies off so that it's safe for you to open the gate and let us in.
All right. So a second head appears in the window, and that person also seems quite concerned, and they do seem very convinced that you are genuinely there in need of help from zombies. And one of them starts up like, "I do not want owlbears in the inn." And the other one is like, Glenn, the owlbears will get the zombies back so we can get them inside. We have to let these people inside." And so these two people disappear back into the inn, and you presume that they are headed towards the gate to let you in. You don't know how long that's going to take. There are three zombies coming at you right now.
So a bottle of glue at the three zombies while all of this is happening.
Absolutely.
And that is two successes.
Yay!
Oh, beautiful. Right, so there's a very sticky patch that two of the zombies get right into, and they're temporarily going to be slowed down by this glue. So basically there's this like alchemical poof, and this kind of explosion of this tar-like substance with this kind of foam that makes it take up a lot of space. And these two zombies are completely stuck for the moment in this.
I'm basically picturing these two zombies like pulling out one limb and then getting it back stuck again as they try and pull out another limb, and then they try and get it out another limb and they get stuck again.
Yeah.
yeah, absolutely.
Very
so
fables.
Yeah, or the Brer Rabbit story. There's multiple different fables with like tar. Usually it's like a tar dummy or mannequin, a tar mannequin sort of thing. And it's like each hand gets stuck. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the dwarf zombies and the bear zombie are in the glue. the final dwarf zombie is coming at you. Tarragon, are you doing anything?
I'm not sure what is good for me to do at this point, I think. I think I've probably been trying to keep the donkey calm and get ready to make a good clear run forward to the gates.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Once you roll that animal handling check.
Okay. That's one success.
Okay, so the donkey's a little nervous, and unfortunately the two zombies are a little bit in the middle of the road for ideal, having a path around, but you are able to start lining the cart up towards the side of the gate you expect to open.
Okay.
There's just this one zombie kind of coming towards people. The bushes around you, okay, there's more zombies slowly starting to approach. So at this point, there's a lot of loud sounds inside the inn. You hear some keys rattling and some bolts and stuff. The oak door pops open. There's still the iron gate, and you see two middle-aged trolls. So one of them is wearing some hastily donned armor, and he has stone-like skin, which is mottled gray with green moss-like hair and equally long mossy beard. And he has two small sets of little curving horns on his head. And he has a very large club, which as soon as he gets the second gate open, he comes out, and at that point you can see that he has a brass mechanical prosthetic leg, and he's got some hastily donned green clothing sticking out underneath this hastily donned armor. It's all very hasty, not quite on correctly, but he's got this big club, and he comes out, and he just smashes the dwarf zombie off the road and into the bushes at the side. And the gate is open.
And the way is clear, so all of you are able to rush into the inn.
And the gate then slams shut behind you. Then goes the iron, the lock on the door and the oak door, and that gets locked too. And you're inside. Essentially, you're inside the corridor that runs through the inside of the inn. On either side are stables, and there's some very anxious sounds coming from the stables. And there is another male troll standing there who has a pretty strong resemblance to the one that let you in, except that this one is just wearing a bathrobe, a green bathrobe. And so they're both basically standing there looking very concerned and upset.
Okay. Tarragon sort of turns to them and starts to thank them for letting them in and for saving them, and also apologizing for it being late and ill-timed, and tries to explain that they've been traveling a long time and they'd needed to stop early, and then they were hoping to travel overnight, but then that didn't work. And then there was the crows and the birds, and they're sort of rambling on a little bit.
All right.
So Will is going to jump in to try and help Tarragon out a little bit with some diplomacy.
Absolutely.
And roll for that.
So I'm going to have Tarragon do the main diplomacy check. It sounds like Willa is assisting. So in this case, I'll just give Tarragon an extra bit of help there. So Robin, you'll roll three dice.
I don't have any diplomacy, so it'll be two dice.
Oh, just the two then. Just the two then.
overly honest role play. Oh, but I get two successes, so that's good.
Beautiful. So
Willa whispers at Tarragon, mention that they just ate zombies.
Yeah. Ooh,
yes.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The owlbears helped us. The owlbears hunt the zombies. They'll be fine. They've just eaten.
So that is actually exactly the right thing to say, because what you quickly find out is the one in the armor, his name is Glenn, and the other one is named Basil, and they're brothers, and they run the inn together with their families, and that Glenn is very concerned about having these owlbears there, but Basil immediately picks up on the fact that they've just eaten. He's like, look, we just need to move the animals from one side of the stables to the other, and we can fit the owlbears in the one large stall on this side. And so if they've just eaten, they should be relatively calm. And so the one named Glenn, who's kind of giving you some stern looks, does seem kind of sympathetic. And you find out that he's a former soldier, a retired soldier, and that he's definitely seen combat before against various hazards, mostly because the kingdom is at peace. Mostly the soldiers deal with magical disasters and other things that happen, zombies being among them. And so, yeah, so he's he can kind of tell that you're really upset, and clearly it wasn't intentional. And so they kind of just get all of you settled up with the owlbears. Glenn does insist that you stay with the owlbears to make sure that they do not pose a danger to anyone else, but you get all settled up in a stall at the inn for the rest of the night.
That's good.
And our characters probably need to rest, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. So this is where your characters can rest. You have to rest for the rest of the night because the zombies will be out all night. So you're going to have to start at dawn next morning. So lots of time for rest. And that is the end of this episode. I don't have an exact release date for part 6 of the Owlbear Reintroduction Program, but this final episode of this game is coming. So stay tuned for that and a bonus cast on the most interesting sounds I've stumbled across in the process of making the sound effects for Unfamiliar Heroes. So, I wanted to take a moment to share with all of you a little more about what has been going on for me. Those who have listened to Bonus Cast 4 will know that at the beginning of October, a baby joined my family. This has been a wonderful experience in a lot of ways, but even though I'm a non-parent family member, this baby has brought a lot of changes and challenges to my family. On top of that, at the beginning of November, there was a death in my family that has affected me deeply. As a result of all of this, my mental health has been pretty rough. I've been having a lot of panic attacks, and my ability to cope with things has been pretty low. I've been working with my family, my therapist, and community members, and I've found some good ways to take care of myself. Things are getting better, but this is an ongoing process that has resulted in me having less time available to make art. Even so, working on Magic Goes Awry and this podcast have been an important part of my self-care, and I've been making steady progress. Those who follow the Writing Alchemy Twitter account or the AlchemyCast hashtag may have noticed that I've been posting a lot of little update tweets to track my progress working on this podcast episode. That is because my current mental state has slowed down the process of making podcasts, and tracking my progress has been helping me keep my momentum. Right now, I'm in a space where pushing back against my perfectionism doesn't actually feel healthy. So, instead of forcing myself to move on when something is good enough, I've been working on things until I feel good about them, or they're as good as I can get them. This means that I've been extra thorough with audio editing and creating lots of sound effects, which has some benefits, but has also slowed everything down. Now that I've finished this episode, my plan is to jump into finishing the new version of Magic Goes Awry and getting it online. Magic Goes Awry is currently in a creative phase that is particularly uplifting for me and which greatly improves my mental health. So, that is a great thing for me to be working on right now.
I'll also be releasing the bonus cast on sound effects sometime soon, as that is a project I can work on when I'm not really functional enough to work on other things. Once I get the main section of Magic Goes Awry online, I'll be turning my focus to episode 6 of the Owlbear Reintroduction Program. Hopefully, by that time, I'll be able to work on it at a more normal speed. Either way, though, I'll be getting it done. After that, I plan to continue alternating writing projects with working on podcast episodes as I ease myself back into my regular alternation schedule. And I just wanted to say thank you again for your support and patience with this process. Your support and the community we are building together means a lot to me. And now, if you want to find out more about today's guests, here's how to follow them.
Okay, I can be found on Tumblr with the username Skeleton Mug. That's all one word, Skeleton Mug, SkeletonMug. And I also have a website which is for accessibility in live action roleplay, and that's accesslarp.wordpress.com.
Perfect. Okay. And that was Robin. And Oriana, I believe you have a coloring book you're working on?
Yes, I can be found on Facebook as Oriana Soup. That's O-R-I-A-N-A space S-O-U-P. And I'm working on a coloring book that is body positivity and diversity and disability themed. It is a high fantasy world in which all of the kinds of people that I care about present realistically. It's called Our Space, a coloring book. And it has a Facebook page, which is Our Space, O-U-R-S-P-A-C-E, colon, a coloring book.
Perfect. And Sage, you have a Dream With blog, I believe?
Yeah. And it's not, we're not really doing anything super worth looking up, but there's not much there. But anyway, I've just sent it to you in the link, mm-hmm. and could you
Absolutely.
Read that?
Absolutely. So it is VLADDRACULEA.dreamwidth, which is spelled DREAMWIDTH.org. So thank you all so much, and I look forward to continuing this adventure soon.
Okay, thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
If you like what you hear and want to hear more, be sure to follow Writing Alchemy on Twitter at writing_alchemy, #AlchemyCast, and on Facebook at facebook.com/writingalchemy. You can subscribe to this podcast on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, or by using its RSS feed. If you want to help me keep this podcast going, pledge your support on Patreon at patreon.com/writingalchemy, or make a donation through Ko-fi. You can find the show notes, complete with guest links and my extensive list of music and sound effect credits, on writingalchemy.net, where you can find all of my podcasts, articles, stories, and other content. There, you can join the discussion and sign up for the mailing list to receive announcements about new podcasts and projects. Also, I will be scheduling some new Unfamiliar Heroes games in 2019, so if you are a person with a disability, chronic illness, or a divergent mind, and you would like to participate in an Unfamiliar Heroes game, head over to writingalchemy.net and click on the participation link in the sidebar. Future games definitely include recorded audio games, and it is my hope to also be able to create some text games, which will be published in chapters. Note that wait times vary a lot depending on what games participants are interested in. Thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for the next bonus cast and part 6 of the Owlbear Reintroduction Program.